notes together, please. 180. 180. Let's stand as we sing Standing on the Promises of Christ My King. 180. Let's sing it out now tonight.
Nobody. Amen.
Will never leave you or forsake you.
Go ahead. Everlasting life. Somebody else said something.
Never leave thee nor forsake
thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You said that at the exact same time. Amen. One more.
Bodily exercise, drop with little.
Amen. And on that, let's take an offering. Amen. Let's sing that second verse together.
Standing on the
glad you're saved.
Amen.
Amen. We're so glad that you're here tonight. Let's go, Lord, in prayer and ask His blessing on our service. Pastor McDonald's going to come and lead us.
Good to see everybody here tonight. Just ask if you'd pray for my son, Paul. He's down with, he's been battling this kidney stone thing. I've never had that, but I've seen people who have had those. How many people have ever had kidney stones? Let's just, okay. All right. So I got some sympathy here for my son. If you'd pray for him, because he's been battling with this on and off for the last week or so, and they not yet passed. So we just need that extra prayer. Also, just one thing that I found in the, or someone found and brought it to me. We found it in the hallway, and that is a cell phone. So if this is your cell phone, or if you would like a cell phone, it's a Samsung Rogers, and there's a few more minutes left on it. I've been using it all day. And you could come up there, you get it for me, okay? We'll be, yes.
A couple more prayer requests. A
couple more?
Marilyn Horn just passed away this afternoon.
Ooh, okay.
So we've been praying for that family, and let's continue to do so. As well as Dave and Doreen's brother-in-law had some heart issues at church this morning. It seemed like he had a heart attack. He's in the ICU up in Simple
Amen.
Hospital right now.
All right. Some important and timely prayer requests to remember. All right. Brother Jimmy, if you'd pray for tonight's service. Amen. God bless you now as you give.
I'm standing here this morning holding in my hand the greatest book in all the world, the Word of God, the Holy Bible. I think that all of you recognize the worth of this book and what it means to the entire world. I can recall a day when I was disappointed and somewhat discouraged. I went into a study and thinking over my situation and what it could do. And I picked up my Bible. It fell open to Psalm 23. I have it open in my hands now. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I began to read, and read it as I read it thousands of times before, but it had a new meaning to me. I turned back to 2 Timothy 4. I read about Paul, his sufferings, his anguish of soul, his great desire for men to be saved. I began to read that, and God gave me a new courage. You see, the Word of God can speak to our hearts, and we must read and follow the Holy Word. Then we must give it out. And that brings me to this part of what I want to say. This great organization bearing precious seed, and they're sending the Word of God around the world, publishing it and distributing it everywhere. And I'm back of this 100%, and I pray, God, that all of you listen today will say, yes, I believe in this, and I want to help it in every way that I can, bearing precious seed.
Robertson, one of Pastor Stone's heroes, and I happened to come across that video about bearing precious seed. And so a blast from the past, if you will. He's gone home to be with the Lord, but still, years ago, believed in the ministry of bearing precious seed, printing and placing God's Word. Listen now as our choir comes to sing tonight. Let's turn to number 359. 359, let's stand together as we sing Wonderful Words of Life. All our songs tonight are about the Bible, the Word of God. 359, let's stand as we sing.
Sing them longer I can to thee, Wonderful Words of Life.
Amen. You may be seated.
But Calvin has disappeared on us, so we're gonna have Mrs. Judge come then. Mrs. Judge, is she ready? All right. If you see Calvin, wake him up, nudge him somehow. Is she in the side room? All right. Perfect. Okay. It's good to have Mrs. Judge back singing. First time tonight. Amen.
God's been good.
hymn books once again, 178. 178, let's stand. I know we sang it this morning, but we're going to sing again tonight. The Bible stands. 178, let's stand tonight after we sing it together. 178. You may be seated. This time we'll have Calvin and Amanda Baker.
Be clear for all the world to see. From 1985 to 1988, I ran the print ministry of the Cleveland Baptist Church. In 1988, with 5 years of great training, I returned to my homeland of Canada to pastor the Bible Baptist Church here in St. Thomas, Ontario. In 2004, Dr. Charles Keene challenged me to begin printing the Word of God. I told him that our church of, at that time, 150, could not afford such an endeavor. He told me this, "If you'll print it, God will supply all that you have need for it." I took that to the Lord and to our church, and both confirmed it could and needed to be done. Since that time, we've decided to forego a new church building and built a 5,000 square foot BPS production and office complex, furnished it, and maintain it. But more exciting than that, we've placed a John of Romans in 4 million of the 13 million homes in Canada. We still have a long way to go to reach our nation. And with just 300 independent Baptist churches in all of Canada, with the majority averaging 50 in attendance, and just 50 churches supporting us monthly, it's a slow and steady climb. This is low-income housing in Canada. We don't have starvation, poverty, or physical despair to pull on the heartstrings of others. What we have is far worse. We have a liberal nation and a conservative gospel and no hint of poverty, and appear by all means to be without any need. We're a prosperous people physically, but we're starving spiritually. In a recent Canadian newspaper, a columnist wrote, "What has really hurt church attendance in the past 50 years is the rise of the dual-income family. It now takes almost two working people to bring the same inflation-adjusted income that one person, usually the man, could earn in the 1960s. Most people today aren't necessarily mad at churches and other religious organizations. Their problem is they're just too busy. How do we overcome that with a nation so vast and churches so few? The task is daunting. What we do have is an awesome postal service. We can mail a John of Romans anywhere in Canada, from the southernmost point of Pelee Island to the northernmost community of Tuktoyaktuk, 5 hours north of the Arctic Circle. From Newfoundland to Victoria, British Columbia, we can produce a mail in John of Romans anywhere in Canada for just 25 cents. We're casting the seed in every direction that we might penetrate the hearts of those searching for what's missing in their lives. Over 4 million John of Romans have reached the 13 million homes here in Canada. On the back of each John of Romans, there's a number of ways that people can communicate with us, and when they do, we send them to the nearest independent Baptist church in their area. We can reach a nation, my nation, with the gospel. It's doable. The question is, how long will we have to wait to do it? 25 cents to put the Gospel of John and Book of Romans in the hands of an entire nation. We have the manpower, the facility, the logistics. All we lack are the finances. Won't you consider making Bearing Precious Seed Canada and the Canadian Gospel Project a part of your missions giving? And in advance, let me say on behalf of a grateful nation, thank you.
I'm thrilled that Bethel Baptist Church has had a heart for the Bearing Precious Seed ministry over the years. It started several years ago with Prince Edward Island, and Bethel Baptist Church funded for the John of Romans to go every home in Prince Edward Island. I'm so thankful and grateful for that. Next, our Sunday school children did a project during their junior church time, their Sunday school time, and they raised enough funds to put a John of Romans in every home in the territory of Nunavut. And we're thankful for that. And then, of course, the Saskatchewan Project. We started on that, and God blessed and gave us enough, partnered with other churches to be able to do Saskatchewan. And so we're so thankful. And this year, we decided to have a few Bethel nights, bring back some of the fellows that grew up here, were raised here, born here, trained here, and maybe spent some time on staff here. And this is our fourth installment of that. And so when I asked Pastor Schoon to come for October 19th, we thought, why not do another project? And now that we are reaching Ontario with the gospel. And so tonight we have raised, I called him a few weeks ago, or I guess it was about 2 months ago now, and I said, how much would it cost to do 200,000 John and Romans? We were at a deacon's meeting, and it was bothering us to know that there were a couple hundred thousand John and Romans ready to go out and no money to send them. The Bible shouldn't be sitting on a cement floor on skids. It should be out in the hands of people where it can have its effect on the heart. And so we talked about that a little bit. We texted him during the meeting and said, how much for 200,000? He said $28,000. And so we set a goal that night to bring it to the church and raise $28,000. I'm so thankful for you people that have given sacrificially. We don't have the final total in as of today because we're still giving tonight. And the offering will be counted and we'll have a final total. But as of the end of last Sunday, we had over $16,000. We've been doing $3,000 or $4,000 a week, so I expect we'll be very close to $20,000 after today is finished. But of course, God has been so good to us in our missions fund all year, we've been able to make up the difference. So tonight, Pastor Stone, we have a check to present to you. Amen. All right. Thank you. So Pastor Stone, we have a check tonight to present to you for $28,000 to Bearing Precious Seed Canada for the cause of Christ, reaching John and Romans. It says delivered to over 200,000 Ontario homes. This will not fit in your ATM.
No.
But praise the Lord, we wanted you to have something that you could take back with you and show your people.
Awesome.
But praise the Lord, we're excited to be able to do this. Praise the Lord. And we know that every penny will go to John and Romans.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Awesome. Thank you.
Amen. Pastor Stone was telling me that before the service that if we were able to make it to the $28,000 mark, the Bethel Baptist Church in the last 3 years has now given over $100,000 to Bibles across Canada. But praise the Lord. That's exciting. And we want to keep going for the Lord. So let's keep being faithful. Let's do all we can for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is so good to have Pastor Stone with us tonight. He's going to come to us to preach the Word of God. So let's have our Bibles out. And I hope that you took some time to encourage him. We're going to have our church fellowship after. Please stay, spend some time, come by and shake his hand, talk to him a little bit and encourage him in the Lord. Good to have his mom and dad here tonight, Bob and Bea Stone. Would you wave? All right. These are the less famous Stones, but we like them better. Amen. And so we're so glad that they're here tonight. And thank you so much for coming. God bless you.
Pastor, don't go just yet, would you
please?
Well, I'm overwhelmed. Thank you so much. You just don't know what it means to have your home church help you in a project like this. We've got a number of folks that have been good and kind to us, and we certainly could not have done this alone. It's just too big a task. And to have folks that I know, that I've known for most of my life, and having known me, still want to help, that's a blessing to me. But I thank you. And so our church wanted to do something for you as well. When I took total and found out through your monthly support and through special projects, and it was right around that $100,000 mark. We figured that Bethel Baptist Church is our largest supporting church. And that, again, just is such an honor to me. And so we wanted to do something for you. And so, Pastor, I'm going to give this to you on behalf of the church. It's a maple leaf made out of glass. It's awesome. I love it. And on that it says, with heartfelt appreciation, we hereby present Bethel Baptist Church, Pastor Alfieri, with this token of our gratitude for helping us reach our nation with the gospel through the Canadian Gospel Project. On behalf of Bearing Precious Seed Canada, Dr. Al Stone, President, I want to give this to you. Thank you very, very much. And thank you, Church, for your help and support. And we look forward to doing a number of things together. And I want you to have that and display that as our appreciation for what this church has done. Amen. That'd be awesome. Thank you so much. Well, it's great to be home, and it's great to have my folks here tonight. My wife's here with me tonight. I do a fair bit of traveling. My wife doesn't always get to travel with me, and people always ask me, are you really married? I said, yes, I am, really. I paid this girl a lot of money, and she finally gave in. But this last $28,000 installment is going to keep her with me for a little bit. No, I'm sorry. I'm kidding. But it's so good to have my mom and dad here. My mom and dad attended Bethel Baptist Church here for many, many years. My dad came here as a kid and got saved as a teenager. And as many do, got away from the Lord for a little bit. And when I was born, my mom and dad went back to church in Hagersville and dedicated my sister and I to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God told God that they would raise us in the things of the Lord. And several years later, they kind of left that commitment, forgot about that commitment. When I was 7 years old, my uncle Ray Stone called and asked if he could pick up my sister and I for Sunday school. And my mom and dad both agreed that that'd be great. My dad at that time was involved in, you know, work and life and playing hockey and different things. And one Sunday morning, he was waiting outside the church. He picked us up after hockey that Sunday. And he sat out front and as he saw people coming out, saw us come out, he remembered that he made a commitment to the Lord. And he said, God, I didn't keep that commitment. I promise you, I'd raise those kids in the Lord. And I'm so glad God got a hold of my dad's heart that day. And he took us home that day and sat down with my mom. And he said, what would you think if all of us started going to church together? And I said, oh, man, that'd be awesome. We were so excited. And so we started coming back to church as a family over at 154 Maple Street. And Dr. Pipe was the pastor at that time for a short time. And then, of course, Dr. Strachan came. And when Dr. Strachan came, my dad got hold of the vision of Dr. Strachan and became very involved. My mom became involved in the church. And my dad and mom helped with the bus route and had a very successful bus route for a number of years. And came to church, brought us to church, got us to school, all those different things. And so I want to publicly say to my parents tonight, thank you for being faithful. And thank you for getting me in a church that preached the Word of God, that took a stand, had a preacher that was a fireball, had some people that caught hold of that vision and did great things. I've talked about this church all over Canada and the United States. What an impact this church has had. I've talked about how over 30 churches were started as a result of this ministry. I've talked about the thousands of people that have heard the gospel in Simcoe and the surrounding area. Talked about in 1974 when we wanted to have 1,004 in church and had over 900 people there. Man, it was exciting. This church has had some great days, and it's had some hard times. It's had some very difficult times, and I know them right well. And you have stayed faithful. Church, thank you for being faithful. Thank you for weathering some of those storms. And there'll be more to come, I'm sure. A church like this, with this impact and with this influence, to keep a ship like this afloat is a very difficult thing. Especially in the storms that come, but you've been faithful. So thank you for that. I appreciate that very, very much. I want to say some things before I start tonight. If you want to take your Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 6. I want to say that Jocelyn did a great job on the piano tonight. Jocelyn and her family were a part of our church for a number of years till we kicked them out. And here they are here now. We hated to see the girls go. Bill, we're certainly glad to see him leave. But we love them, and they were a great part of our church for a number of years. And to see those girls grow and the family to go on and serve the Lord, what a great blessing that is. To have my mom and dad and Ruthie here, what a blessing that is. And then I want you to know that I told our church, a couple of years ago, I was missing a lot of Sundays. And our church said, Pastor, you're gone too much. And I agreed. I've been gone too much. So I tried to cut back on missing Sundays. Well, when Pastor called and said, hey, we want to do something for BPS. We want to give you a check. I went to the church and I told him, I said, this is an odd occasion, but I want to go down. I want to receive that check and I want to say thank you personally to those folks. And so I told the church what the church had promised or endeavored to try and do. And when I told them this morning that this church over the years has raised almost $100,000, they said, oh, please go. Thank you. In fact, they said, we want you to go. And so I'm here tonight. And they said, would you do this? Would you thank those people in a very special way? So I'm going to do that tonight. I'm going to have Bob Simmons and Ray Austin come up. I'd like to hug and kiss them each tonight on behalf of the church. And not going to happen, is it? No, not going to happen. Can you imagine Bob Simmons hugging and kissing on a guy? That's just a sad, scary thought, isn't it? So, yeah, amen. Ray, we can imagine that, but not Bobby. We can't imagine that. And then that song tonight, Judy. Oh, my goodness, what that girl's been through over the years. And to be able to sing that song, I heard that song a few years ago. And, man, it just really touched my heart. And I took up wood carving a few years ago. I really enjoy it. I never dreamed I'd be able to do it. It's something that I always admired. And I thought, you know what, I'll give it a try. And I found a guy in my church who had a brother who did it. And so he hooked me up and we got together. And I joined a wood carving club. I'm the youngest man in the club at 51 years of age. They're all old timers, but I'll tell you, I absolutely love it. They are good men. They're wholesome men. They have some character. And I was like the new girl going to high school. Man, they all wanted to help the young guy. We'll get you tools. We'll get you the wood. We'll show you how to do it. I've had a great time doing that. And I have a little garden shed in the back of our yard. And that's my wood carving place, the wood shed. And I go out there and I take my iPhone with me or my iPad and I hook it into a stereo system and I listen to music and carve. And I want to tell you that any time that song ever comes up, God's been good in my life. I can't help but cry. I started crying again tonight. I have to tell you folks that God has been good in my life. I've had people who've left Simcoe and left the church here and different things and said, you know what, I'm glad I got out of Simcoe. I'm glad I moved on to different things. I've got to tell you, I have such fond memories here. I really do. I was talking to one of my buddies years ago, and we got swapping stories and different things, and he'd had some hard things happen, different things. And I said, I've got to be honest with you. My childhood is full of good memories. I had people that loved me. I had a family that loved me. I had a good home that surrounded the things of Christ. And we went through some difficulties. We went through some hardships. But I'll tell you, when I look at all of the things in totality, God's been good to me. To be able to leave this town at that time when I was a kid, about 8,000-10,000 people, and work in Cleveland Baptist Church for 5 years, and then come to St. Thomas with 13 people and just slug it out and serve the Lord. And now God doing great things there and with this Bearing Precious Seed Ministry. God has been good in my life. I've got a tremendous family. I've been with the same wife for almost 30 years. This year will be 30 years my wife has stayed with me. And man, I'll tell you, that's a blessing. Amen. I've got three great kids that love the Lord and serve the Lord. I can't tell you enough how good God has been. And folks, this church has been a huge part of that. Thank you again for your training. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support, not only of our ministries, but of our family. We love you for that, and I appreciate it tonight. God bless you. Well, I want to give you a message tonight. When Pastor called and asked me to come, God laid this heart on my message. I don't very often preach messages more than a couple of times. I've preached this one twice. I preached it at our church, and I preached it at a meeting in Barrie. Some of the young people may remember this. It was a few years ago. There might be some that were there. But I just really felt led of the Lord to preach this message tonight. I don't know why. It's a message that God gave to our church and gave to me. And I've got to be honest with you. As I travel, and that's, again, a thing that I just thank the Lord for. I've been so many places that I never dreamed I would be. And as I travel, I've got to tell you, there are a lot of hurting people out there today. I did a series on depression in our church. You would be amazed at the number of Christians who are suffering with states of depression today. I entitled the series, I Can't Be Depressed, I'm a Christian. But I want you to know there's some folks that struggle with depression today. There are people that struggle with the hardships of life. I think of the Horn family tonight. The Horn family were very dear to me. Mark and I were best of friends growing up as kids. And we got in so much trouble together. We had so much fun. Oh, man, we loved coming here and being a part. I got to be honest with you. I haven't talked to Mark in years. I'm going to try and call him tonight or tomorrow and let him know the heartbreak of knowing that Marilyn has passed away. Mr. and Mrs. Horn, I went to their home many, many times, a deacon in our church and sang in our church. I always loved when he sang, and he and Mrs. Horn thinking of those things, they're going to go through some hardships tonight. They're going to wonder why their girl, even, you know, in her 50 years of age, you think, well, she should live to be longer, and she's got a family, and that'll be a hurt for them. And just in the everyday occurrences of life, there's some hardships and some difficulties that come. There are a few who have not heard tonight of the passage that we're going to read and of Daniel in the lion's den. You could probably recite to me the story, but most, if not all of you, would overlook what I'm going to show you tonight. When I was a kid, I often wondered, where do preachers get their messages from? Well, your pastor gets most of his from the internet and his wife. But the rest of us study God's Word and get things. But I've got to tell you that in this instance, I got this message in an most unusual place. I went to the doctor's office. And most of you know and have asked and prayed for, and I thank you so much. I had some blood clots a few years ago. I had 12 of them. And by the grace of God, I stand here tonight. I'm in good health. I feel great. In fact, I'm going to play hockey with the guys tonight afterwards. Give it a go. Are you playing tonight, Bob? Are you playing? Oh, good. That'll be great. And I'll make sure we're on the same team because he'd lay a hurting on me for sure. But I had these blood clots. I didn't know what was wrong, so I went to the doctor. The doctor was busy, so I talked to a nurse practitioner. We got talking. I told her I was a pastor and pastor of the church. And I asked her, I said, why did you not go on and become a doctor? She was only a few years from becoming a full doctor. She said, because I wanted to pursue my life's passion. And I said, well, what's that? She said, I want to write a Broadway musical. And I said, really? I said, what would you like to write it about? And she said, Daniel. And I said, from the Bible. She said, yes. So we got talking about her Christianity and that she was saved and had read the Word of God. And she said, Pastor, have you ever looked at Daniel chapter 6 really close? I said, well, sure I have. I've looked at it many times. She said, I want to show you something or mention something to you and you study it out. That's all she said to me. She gave me the verse and she said, I want you to study that out and see what that does. I want to tell you, it was one of the most incredible Bible study experiences I've ever had. And I want to give it to you tonight because it's been such a help to me and it's been a help to others. It's one of these small and seemingly insignificant things that is about to change your life, I pray, forever. If you'll get this tonight, if you'll grab hold of what I'm going to show you, if you'll look at the incredible life of Daniel with a microscope tonight, you're going to see something that I believe will blow your mind and I believe will change your life forever if you'll allow it to, if you'll receive what I'm going to give to you. Let's take a look at Daniel chapter 6 tonight. I'm going to begin reading in verse 13. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Wow, that's an amazing statement right there. You could preach on that. Verse 17, And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet. And with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were there instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel! Servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? And I'd like to think that there was a dramatic pause. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him, innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. I love that. And the king commanded, and they brought these men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces of ever they came at the bottom of the den. Before they hit the bottom of the den, the lions tore them to shreds. Man, woman, child. That's harsh. But that's the payment for trying to hurt the man of God, for trying to disrupt the plan of God. I want to draw your attention tonight to a phrase in verse 22. Go back there and see this and underline this in your Bible, would you please? If you can't do it now, do it later. It says, And also before thee, O king, here it is, here's the phrase, have I done no hurt? Have I done no hurt? Daniel told the king, My God has sent an angel and shut the lions' mouths. They have not hurt me. What intrigues me is that Daniel said that he had done no hurt. We don't think about that. I'm sure you've read that passage before, as I have, and maybe you have caught this, but I've never caught this before. Daniel says, I have done to thee, king, no hurt. What do you mean you've done no hurt? You've been in the lion's den. The king was at home trying to rest but couldn't do it. What do you mean? What was he talking about? Well, I want to show you that tonight, and if you'll, again, grasp this, it will change you. For some of you, that time has already come and gone. That time is this. At some point in your lives, someone is going to hurt you. I don't care who you are tonight. I don't care who you are. Someone is going to hurt you. Young people, someone is going to hurt you. We've had in our family some hurt. I talk about my wife and kids. We've had some hurt. We've had some things that we've gone through. My family, my mom and dad, my sister, we had some great hurt years ago. Very difficult times. Times I didn't know if we'd make it through or not. I know a lot of you tonight. I don't know all, but I know most of you tonight, and there have been some hurts in your lives. You've had children hurt you. You've had workmates hurt you. You've had maybe people in the ministry hurt you. You've had people in the community hurt you. You've gone through some difficult things. All of us at some point in our lives are going to suffer some hurt. The test of your understanding of God and your walk with Christ will be if you can say, "Have I done no hurt?" Let me say that again. This is crucial. The test of your understanding of God and your walk with Christ will be if you can say, "Have I done no hurt?" Let me show you, first of all, tonight, Daniel was done dirty and said, "Have I done no hurt?" He was done dirty. Daniel was a Jew. He was loved by an Arab. He must have been something for an Arab to love a Jew. You know the hatred that they've had between each other and still to this day. Here's modern day Iraq. Here's the Iraqis who would love with Iran to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. They hate them. They despise them. They want them gone. They're a thorn in their flesh. And here is a Jewish man serving the king, and the king loves him. Man, he must have been some great Christian, some great testimony of God. He must have had such a good way about him. Not only a Jew, but a Jew in leadership in Babylon. Daniel did absolutely nothing more than infuriate some Iraqis by being loved by the king. It made them so mad, they plotted to have him killed. Simply because the king said, "I love this guy, I like this guy. He's a great guy, he's been a great leader, he's been a faithful servant to me." And because of that, they said, "That king has turned against us." And so to show him and to show our nation in maybe a rage of patriotism, said, "We're going to get that guy killed." And they really had to think about it. They had about to think a way that they would be able to entrap him because he was such a good man and had such a good, wholesome life. And they said this, "The only way we'll ever do it is if we can find some way with his God." I wonder tonight, if people were going to plot against you, I wonder if they could say, "The only way we'll ever get him is if we can try and separate them from their God." Or would it be a very easy task to get you to fall into the sins of this life and cause you to mess up? Knowing their plan, Daniel would not vary from what he knew was right. Can I say that we need that in Christianity today more than ever? We need that. We need Christians that will say, "I'm just going to do what's right to do." I'm tired of a weak Christianity that says, "Listen, if we go to church, if we carry a Bible, as long as we don't do drugs or drink, and as long as we don't do those open things, then we're okay." No, listen, there's a bunch of us today in Christianity that need to do the right thing all the time just because it's right to do. Would you say amen to that? It's right to do. Knowing their plan, they would test his devotion to God. Knowing their plan would bring his death. He lived that same purpose in his heart, and he continued to believe in his God. I've got those things written on a piece of paper that I keep in my office. Something I wish every one of us as Christians could do. Daniel said, "I'm going to purpose in my heart. I'm going to make it a purpose, a plan, a determination that I am just going to serve God." Could I say to you in this section tonight, would you purpose in your hearts just to serve God? No matter what happens, you lose your job, your spouse leaves, things don't go right, you have a hard time. Just serve God. Young people tonight, you young men tonight, listen, if ever Canada needed a hope of young people tonight, especially young men tonight, it is now. Young men, would you purpose in your hearts tonight and say, "Listen, we are just going to serve God. We're not going to ride the roller coaster of Christianity. We're going to get on the straight track, and we're going to stay on track, and we're just going to serve God." And would you have some fortitude about tonight? Would you have some fight about tonight? Say, "Listen, we're just going to serve God till we die." Would you do it? Young people tonight, young ladies, seniors, married, single, doesn't matter. Would you purpose? And then he said this, "I'm going to believe in God. I'm going to believe in my God. I'm going to trust in my God." Listen, tonight the king came and said, "Oh, Daniel, the God that you serve continually, he will deliver you." Why did the king say that? How could this king say that? I'll tell you how. Because he saw in Daniel's life and he heard in Daniel's life a man who continually did that which was right by his God. He saw the temptations that would come. He saw the paths that he could have taken. He said, "No, I'm just going to serve my God." And he stayed at it. As a teen, Daniel purposed in his heart that no matter what he was going to do, what he's going to do, he was going to serve God and never defile himself. I'm sure there are some here tonight that have yet to do that, to purpose in their heart
and believe in their God. In a crowd this size, some of you have already defiled yourselves with the lewd styles and vulgarity and smut of this world. I hate to say it in a church like this, and knowing a lot of you folks, it may not be true, but of some, I'm sure there are some who have already given themselves over to the things of this world. Some of these young men may have already seen things and heard things and participated in things that they should never have. You say, preacher, how can you say that? Because I was a young man once. Young man in a great church with a great family, great preacher. And still I struggle with the things of this world like everybody else. Some of you have already defiled yourself with the fulfilling of desires of your heart. I'm just going to do it. I'm sick and tired. I point a lot of times to young people because I love them so much and I preach so much to them. Or a lot of young people say, you know what? Is the preacher really right? Is the preacher really true? All that stuff he preaches, surely it's not as bad as he says. I was one of those young people. I'll tell you, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. In fact, a lot of times I'm a couple of French fries short of a Happy Meal. And when I was in Bible college, think of this now, Bible college, Dr. Strachan, some of those great men, Dr. Rasky, some of those great men that were here and taught us. I was addicted to rock music while going to Bible college. I know that sounds so dumb, but I was. I just loved it. I couldn't get enough of it. It just filled my life. And so I kind of hid it from, you know, people at church. My family knew and some of my friends knew. And I'm sure our pastor must have figured it out because of my life and the way I was living and stuff. And I was a good kid. I came every Sunday. I had my Bible. I shook hands. I do devotions. But man, I love that music. And I decided in Bible college that I was going to write a paper on why rock music was not as bad as preachers say it is. Now, that's dumb. That's just dumb. I mean, that's just stupid. Nobody does that. But I've never been afraid to step out on the edge. And so I started to write that paper. And when I found out what that whole rock music, that pop music industry this day is all about, it scared me so bad. I turned my radio off and said, Lord, I don't want anything to do with that anymore. Hey, listen, it was still a struggle, but I determined I've got to serve the Lord. But those desires of the heart, some of you have defiled yourselves with the habitual substances of this world, with the filthy talk of a sin-sick world, with the rebellion and disrespect of this world. Defiled. Daniel said, I'm not going to do it. And determined in his heart, and as far as we can see, there's nothing of that. There's no mention of those things. For those of you who have purpose in your hearts to stay the course, it is you that will one day be able to say when done dirty, have I done no hurt? Someone will hate you. Someone will test your faith. Someone will betray you. Someone will hurt you with a desperate hurt. And folks, only those with the fortitude of Daniel will be able to say, have I done no hurt. Here's the second thing tonight. Daniel was denied deliverance and said, have I done no hurt? Let's go back to our text and look at verse 14. It says, then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. In fact, the king tried till the end of day. The king would have no music, no food. He couldn't sleep. With all the power the king had, there was nothing even he could seemingly do. Daniel would be cast into the den of lions, and there was nothing anyone could, and more sadly, would do. I wonder if all those men that brought accusation, if they'd come to the king and said, King, we want to take that back. I wonder if there's something they couldn't do. I wonder if the nation had risen up and said, King, don't you put that man in the lion's den. He's a revered man here. He's a faithful man here. I wonder if there's something he couldn't do. But the king said, I can't do it. I've made a law. The law of the Medes and the Persians, it tells me that I can't change that. I have to enact a new law and I have a certain time to do that. And so he said, I can't. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about tonight when I talk about this denied deliverance. That teacher that can't stand your Bible answers. Can't stand it. Kids that go to public school. I went to Simcoe Composite School here for 11 years. Started my 12th year. School went on strike. I ended up coming to school here. Became the first graduate of Bethel Baptist Academy. What a proud moment for our church to have me, the first guy. Isn't that awesome? I set the standard high, didn't I? Right down about there somewhere.
And so I came here, but I'll tell you what, I went to that school and I'd stand up in class and they'd talk about in man and society class back then, they'd talk about situation ethics. What would you do if you're in a boat and there's a pregnant woman and a convict and a priest and you, who are you going to throw overboard to save the rest? And I'd say things like this. I'd say, well, I just jump overboard. Well, you can't jump overboard. You have to save yourself. I said, no, I don't. I'm a born again Christian. If I die, I'm going to heaven. My teacher used to go crazy with that. I'm a Christian. We had a discussion one day about abortion. I said, I think it's a murder for a woman to kill a baby. Oh, boy, that got some eyebrows going. We talked about back in the, I'm in the 70s now. Peace. And we're talking about groovy and all of that and the bell bottoms and the whole thing. I was the only kid in our high school that had hair above my ears. Everybody else, all the boys had hair down to their shoulders. In fact, Brother Fury, I think, back then had hair somewhere. But armpit. He had armpits that went around. That's what it was. If he was there and had short hair, I don't remember. I remember a lot of the pictures going through the book, and I had short hair. It kind of stood out. But I'd get up and say, listen, I believe that a woman ought to be married to a man, amen, and that man and woman ought to stay married, and that woman ought to love and obey her husband. Oh, boy. Obey? What, is he the master? I said, no, just the head of the home, told by God to lead. Oh, boy, I'll tell you, there were some things. I understand the teacher who can't stand the Bible answers. You know, the coach that won't play you because you won't cuss and drink like the others. The coach that won't let you have that primo spot because you won't go out with the other guys afterwards. And when they're sitting around and drinking their beer in the game afterwards, he won't have you because you don't do those things. You know, that person that mocks you because you dress modestly. Because you go to the office and you always carry yourself in a very modest and distinct way. Because you want to represent the Lord Jesus Christ in all that you do and say. And the people that maybe laugh behind your back and ask, how come you always dress that way? How come you never put on the rest of the fashion that everybody else does? You know, the boss that favors others because they will give up church. You've made a decision to stand and say, listen, I don't work Sundays. I can't work Sundays. I go to church. That's my time to worship. I serve in a Sunday school or a bus ministry or music program, and I have got to be there. And as much as I love this job, I am going to church, and I am going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That boss that says, well, then I can't give you that promotion. Or that boss that says, well, then you're going to work the other rotten shifts, and you're not going to get the good ones. I know that. Daniel had every right to scream, this isn't fair. I've served you, King. I've loved you, King. I've been faithful to this nation. I'm not even from here. And I've taken on your customs and I've taken on your talk and I've taken on your food. But listen, I've set myself apart for the things of God. And that's all I've done. And I've tried to live my faith. This isn't fair. But he didn't. He didn't. Daniel could have complained to the king and challenged his love for him and his power and authority and stupid laws and rules, but not Daniel. He believed his God would deliver him. And so too, to a lesser degree, the king that signed his fate. Because Daniel had such a strong reliance upon his God, he could say, have I done no hurt? Here's the final thing. Daniel was dealt disrespect and said, have I done no hurt? Normally a person would have been lowered into the den of lions. It was a pit. And they would take a rope and they would take some material and they would put it under the arms and they would lower that person down into the lion's den. Daniel is 90 years old. Now, I need to ask some ages. Who would be one of the oldest men here tonight? Who would that be? Pastor, you know, who would be one of the oldest men? Do we have any? How many? Do we have any men here that are 80 years of age or older? All right, how old are you? 84. Anybody older than 84? Man, you don't look 84. You look fantastic. Anybody older than 84? Bush, how old are you? 187, ladies and gentlemen. You're the perfect guy. I love this guy. Is there anybody here that doesn't love Bush Storchin? Raise your hand. Mary, put your hand down. Jimmy Roberts. Jimmy Roberts doesn't love him, but he doesn't love anybody. All right? Stand up here for me. Come on up here and help me. Would you put your Bible down there? Come here. 88 years of age. All right, I need a couple strong, big guys. Come on, Ryan. Come on. Come on, you guys. Come here. Give me a hand. Come here. Yeah, come on. Let's see. Yeah. Let's see. Come on, help me. 80, Seven?
Eight.
88. That is awesome. I love you, man. This was my hockey coach for a number of years when I played here. You going to coach tonight? You coaching tonight?
No.
Could you just say, Stone, get out there and get the puck?
Yeah.
Could you say it?
Stone, get out there and get the puck.
Okay, good. Oh, that. Stay on the penalty box. Okay, yeah. That's the coach I remember there. How many of you love this man? Raise your hand for me tonight. He is a godly man. He sings like an angel. Faithful to this church. How many years have you been coming to Bethel Baptist Church?
Oh, since 53.
53. I was born in 63. I'm 51. That's 61 years. That's a long time. Not many people stay in a church for 61 years, do they? Now, fellas, here's what we're going to do tonight. You're going to represent the Babylonians. And here's Daniel. Six years. How old? 87. 3 years. I got to keep that straight. 87. 3 years older than Mr. Dorkson. And they took, the Bible says, and they cast him into the lion's den. They didn't put material under his arms and a rope and lower that senior gentleman, that statesman, into the lion's den. They cast him. So, fellas, I want you to pick Mr. Dorkson up over your heads, and we're going to throw him into that pew right there. Go ahead. Just grab hold of him and just toss him into that pew right. Go ahead. Just grab that old guy. Come on, you old man. And just, hey, wow, wow. That's pretty good. Hey, man. Yeah, I'd like to see that guy. Try to take that old guy. There's no way you're going to do that, is there? Not only would your mom and dad whip the fire out of you, these people would beat the tar out of you, and you, I'll take you myself. All right? There's no. If these guys came at Mr. Dorsey, I'd do everything I could to fight them guys off. Why? I love this man. He's been faithful. He's loved this church. Loved his wife. Loved some college kids. He used to shuffle a little food my way when I was very, very hungry. I love this guy. I am the man I am today, thanks to you, Butch Dorkson. No, I mean in size. Just size. I love you. Thank you for being faithful.
Lord bless you.
Thank you. You can have your seat, fellas. You can sit down. Can you imagine taking an 87-year-old man, casting him into a pit full of lions? You know they're going to tear him up and kill him. They did it. They did it. Can you imagine what Mr. Dorkson would think if those guys had grabbed hold of him tonight and lifted him up over their head? He probably wouldn't come back to church here. I probably wouldn't. That's a disrespect. Daniel was disrespected. He's a statesman. He's a man who's lived 80 years of his life in that country. And this is how he's being treated? This is what he's going to get? A 90-year-old respected leader in Babylon, loved by the king, lived a godly existence, and they cast him into a pit. Hey, listen, some of you have tried to live the Christian life. You're in charge at work. You've captained the team. You're kind to others, and yet you get little, if any, respect. People just seem to toss you aside, and you're sick of it. In fact, you'd like to start telling some people off. And could I say that at 89 or 90 years of age, most people that age do tell people off. You can say whatever you want. What are they going to do? Hurt you? Daniel could have done the same, but because Daniel knew that he was little more than a servant of the King of Kings, he could say, "Have I done no hurt?" Look at verse 22 real quick. "My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths that they may not hurt me. For as much as before him, innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Now, here's what I want you to see. All that I've said comes to this moment. Listen here. Pay attention. Write it down. Get this. Daniel had more than enough reason to lose it. Daniel was absolutely in the right. Daniel could have been mad at being in captivity. The king, the princes of Babylon, and God for the situation he was put in. God, why am I here? Why am I in a lion's den? I've been faithful. I've given my heart to you. I've purposed. I've done everything right. I've done everything a Christian should do. And this is how I'm being treated. God, what in the world am I doing here? Why me? Isn't that what we say? Isn't that how we respond? Just like we do when we're done dirty, denied deliverance, dealt disrespect. And Daniel could have sat in that pit all night and brooded over that and got angry over that and let himself be eaten up with rage. But he didn't. We often concentrate on the fact that Daniel survived the lion's den and had not one scratch on him. That he was joined and comforted by the angel of the Lord. But folks, see this. When they pulled the stone from that pit and the king that essentially put him in there called out to Daniel, "Is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee?" Daniel answered, "O king, live forever." I would have, and you would have said this, "It's none of your stinking business how I am. You want to know how I am? I'm ripping mad. That's how I am. I'm hurt and disgusted. I'm upset." We would have said, "Why don't you come down here and find out how I am?" Those lions would have tore that king to shreds. He didn't have the protection of God. Maybe we would have said, "Oh, now somebody wants to know. Now that I've gone through a night in the lion's den, now that I've gone through this hardship, now that I've been here all alone, now that I know how people really care and think about me, now you ask how I'm doing." Or maybe we'd say, "Curse you and curse all of you. I'm done with you. I'm done with you people. I'm done with this country. I'm getting out of here." But he didn't do that. Godly Daniel said, "Innocency was found before thee, O king. Have I done no hurt?" Here's what he's saying, folks. This is what it is. "I have not thought one bad thing about you." I'm in this lion's den, a 90-year-old man in the dark. And I have just spent one of the sweetest nights of my life with what I believe is the Son of God who stayed those lions from him, shut their mouths. He said, "King, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. I haven't sat in this hole and thought, I can't wait to get my hands on him. I can't wait to tell him off. I can't wait to demonstrate my hurt." He said, "I don't hold any in disregard. You see, King, this whole thing was a plan of God. This whole thing was set in motion before time. God brought me to this nation for this very time, for this thing. And in the hardest time of what would seem as life, in the most difficult of circumstance, God delivers him and makes a statement to the king and to the nation. And the king says, 'Hey, he was right all along. I knew it. I knew his God would deliver him.' And you men that brought that accusation against him, you're going to pay the price." And he threw them into the pit and glorified the name of God. He said, "His God is the God. His God's Almighty God." And friends, could I say to you tonight that maybe you've gone through that hardship. Maybe you've gone through that difficulty. Maybe you've gone through that hurt. Maybe you've gone through that disgrace because God has something greater for you. Maybe God's going to use that as an example for someone else. And you'll be able to go and say, "Listen, I was in the darkest of dens. I was in that place where I thought life was lost. And God delivered me from that. And God used me. He put his heart on God. He purposed to live for God. He desired to have all things of God. And God used that in a great and mighty way." And Daniel said, "Have I done no hurt?" As much as Daniel was not hurt physically, there was no harm to him spiritually, psychologically, or emotionally. That is awesome. He came out of that completely unscathed. We think of the physical, but it's the emotional and it's the psychological that we often need help with. How do I forgive those people that wronged me? How do I go on having been so disgraced? How do I get back to where I should be in the things of God? Some of you are still mad at your parents or your spouses for trying to protect you. Some of you are angry with those that tormented you. Some of you are fanning the fires of hate for someone who hurt you. And some of you are wishing you didn't have to be a Christian. How did Daniel do it? How did he maintain that kind of spirit? Verse 23, "No manner of hurt was found upon him." Why? Here it is. Because he believed in his God. When people hurt you, and they're going to, believe in your God, Brother Baker. Believe in your God. Believe in your God. Sue, And your mom goes home to be with the Lord. What a great lady. Oh, man, Mrs. Muscle, what a great lady. And those times come, you think, oh, Lord, why did you take my mom? Just a few more days, a few years. To be able to say, have I done no hurt? Mr. Tyrrell goes to work one day and steps on a nail. Not too long later, can't walk. Son has to pick him up out of a chair and carry him to a bed, get him to the hospital. Doesn't walk for a long time, struggles to walk today. Have I done no hurt? I've never heard Mr. Tyrrell say, oh, I curse the day. I can't believe God did this to me. Never heard that. Thank you. Thank you. But some of us don't respond that way. Some of us think, why me? And maybe there's days, maybe there were days, I don't know, but God has a purpose and a plan. And all things do work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. We don't always see that right away. My family, friends, schoolmates, church members, have I done no hurt? You might be all right on the outside, but what is the damage on the inside? Daniel, right with God, in tune with His will, setting self aside, said, have I done no hurt? I haven't given a thought to it. I haven't regarded it. I haven't thought evil of you. Let me ask you tonight, in the hurts of your life, what did you say? Or what are you saying? When hurt and trouble comes, are you saying, have I done no hurt? Daniel did. And we ought to be able to as well. But that takes a great walk with the Lord. And a purpose of heart. And a knowledge that my God will deliver me. Have I done no hurt? Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for the privilege, extreme privilege of preaching in this pulpit where greater men than God than I have stood. As a young man listening to some of the greatest preachers of the day, ours included. And now to stand here tonight, I'm so humbled. God, I pray tonight that this message will be a help to some. I don't doubt that there are some in this congregation tonight that have thought, how did God get that message to Brother Stone? Oh, I've been looking for a way. I've been looking for something that would help me. And tonight, Father, I pray if there's even one person here who's struggled with the hardships of life. I think of even the testimony of my mom, my dad, some of the things that they've gone through, hurts of life, and to be able to come through those things, took the help of the Lord. I think of my dear wife tonight, some of the things that her family's had to face, and to be able to come through that, the help of the Lord. And God, I know that in my own life, I've not suffered some of the great things that others have, but even the little things of my life, God, I had to get to that point where I said, you know what? It doesn't do me any good to get upset. It doesn't do me any good to dwell on that. It doesn't do me any good to hold against others. And God, when I was able to let go of that, what a release. What a sweet time. And God, maybe there's some here tonight that just need to come and say, you know what? I got to let go. I need to let go. A man hurt me when I was a little girl. I've got to let it go. My mother did something. I've got to let it go. The preacher, the teacher, the deacon, the Sunday school person. I've got to let that go. Because God had a plan. And I don't know what it was at times, but I know this. I'm here now and I'm okay. And I can go on and I can be a help to others. God, I pray tonight that would be our attitude. And Father, if no one else, I want to take this tonight and just be a refresher. That when the next hardship of my life comes, I might be able to say, have I done no hurt? What an incredible man Daniel was. I don't know if I'll ever be that, but I'd like to be. Help us, I pray. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed tonight. Let me ask you, how many tonight have said, preacher, there has been some hurt in my life. And I'm going to be honest with you tonight. It's hurt me for a very long time. I've lost sleep over it. I've not been able to eat. I've been bitter. I've been angry. I've turmoiled. And tonight, I'm going to be honest with you, this message tonight just hits home with me. Preacher, I'd like you to know that tonight. Would you slip your hand up and hold it for just a moment, all of this auditorium? Someone's done hurt in my life. I've had a hard time. It's been difficult. God bless you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Many hands tonight. Many hands. Hey, could I tell you tonight, if it hasn't happened, it's going to. Because you're not going to get through this life without some kind of hurt in your life. Somebody's going to hurt you. You're going to marry someone, your children, a family member, a friend. And could I beg you tonight? Could I plead with you? I've learned the hard way. Would you tonight start to strive to be like Daniel and say, have I done no hurt? I've not said, I've not done, I've not carried. I simply gave it to the Lord knowing that He had a purpose and a plan because He loves me. It's a perfect will. How many tonight say, Pastor, I need some help with that. I need some prayer help. I need someone to get just to pray with me tonight, help me, encourage me tonight, because I can't do that on my own. I know I can't. I'm too fleshly. I struggle. I want to just pray for you tonight. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around. Would you say, Preacher, would you tonight just ask God to help me? I don't want to have that hurt in my life. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up and hold it for just a moment and say, that's me? That's me. I want to get over that thing. I want to get over that thing. God bless you. Amen. 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 Could I say this before I close that? Could I say that sometimes I think we like to carry those things around? I think it gives us an excuse. I do this or I do that, but I can't because of this. Could I say tonight, you're not helping anybody with that? Would you just get rid of that thing tonight? Are there others who say, Preacher, I'm getting rid of that tonight. By God's grace, I'm going to deal with that to the best of my ability. I know the devil's going to fight me. I know it's going to be hard. But by God's grace, I want to be that kind of man that Daniel was. I want to be that kind of Christian that Daniel was. Are there others? Would you slip your hand up and hold it for just a moment and say, pray for me. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Two more on my left here. One on my right. God bless you. Others? God bless you in the back. Thank you so much. Are there others? In a moment, we're going to stand and I'm going to pray for you. And then I'm going to ask you to do this. I really believe when God speaks to us in a message like this, I think it's time to respond. I don't believe in just getting people to come to the altar. I don't put a notch in my belt. I don't tell people, hey, look what... No, I just want people to have what Daniel had. I want Christians to be right with God. I want churches to be vibrant. I want the movement of Christ to move ahead. And I know this in my life. In those times when I've carried that bitterness, I've not done anything for God the way I should. Tonight I want you to have the power of God in your life. Let's stand on our feet, would you please? Heavenly Father, for these tonight who've raised their hands and said, I've been hurt. God, I do pray for them tonight. I pray, Lord, that You would do something incredible in their lives tonight. I pray that You would take years, maybe years and years of hurt and just anger and bitterness. And God, just dissolve it away. God, help these folks just to let it go. God, may the Holy Spirit of God move in such a way here tonight that maybe the release of tears, maybe folks just saying, listen, I just need to draw closer to God. People saying, listen, it's just one of those things. God, I don't know what it'll take tonight, but I pray in my own life, God, in those situations where I've struggled and have those difficulties, God, help me tonight to purpose in my heart, to repurpose again, and to believe that, God, there's something good that can come of it. And God, if it's a learning experience, if it's something I can do to help someone else, God, let it be. God, there were probably 25 or 30 people that raised their hands tonight and said, I'm struggling and I need some help. And God, I pray that every one of them would come to this altar tonight and fall on their face before You and say, oh God, help me. If someone can pray with them and help them, I pray that they'd let them. If not, then let them pray by themselves and speak to You. For You are the solution to our every problem. But God, it's going to take some humility. It's going to take some reality. It's going to take some hard work maybe. But God, I pray that You'd help us tonight to find in our hearts to be able to say, have I done no hurt? And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The piano is going to begin to play tonight. And if God's touched your heart, would you step out and come tonight? Would you come? God's spoken to you. I don't know who you are. I don't know what your situation is. But would you come tonight? You say in front of the church, hey, what better place to come? What better place to come? Just say, God, help us. God, help us. If you're not coming tonight, would you keep your head bowed and pray for those who are tonight? Would you make your way? Others need to come. You raise your hand. God spoke to you. Listen, just come. Just come. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand what they did or what they said. I don't care. They didn't throw you in a lion's den. See, well, it sure felt like it. Well, even if they had, Daniel said, have I done no hurt? Man, that's tough. That's tough to do. I know it is. Others are making their way. Would you come? If you're here tonight, you're not saved. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen, if you want someone to help you through hurt, you need Jesus Christ. You need to know the Lord. There's still going to be difficult times. The altars tonight are testimony that even in the Christian life, there's some hard times and difficulties. But I'll tell you what, when you've got the help of Jesus Christ, oh, you can do it. Would you come? Would you come? Have I done no hurt? Can you say that tonight? When you think of that situation, have I done no hurt? If you can't, I believe you need to come tonight and say, God, help me. God, maybe forgive me. God, assist me. Whatever it is, would you come? Just trust and obey. Have I done no hurt?
Many are praying. The instruments are still playing. You have an opportunity to come if you would like. Do business with God tonight. Sing the chorus together, Brother Baker will lead us. Trust and obey.
Trust and obey, for there's no other
way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. You may be seated.
Let me just do this before we close.
Can I
just?
I have one thing I need to do.
Okay, do that. And I was
all right. I had forgotten to do something, and I need to do it. We were going to have a couple representatives from the church sign this big check, and it may seem silly to you, but it's important to me that the folks at Bearing Precious Seed know that this was a church effort, that everybody worked together, prayed together. Some may not have gave a thing, but I know you were praying for this offering, and you're praying for the John and Romans going forth. Brother Stone's going to read an email in just a minute, I believe, from Saskatchewan.
No.
But you just, from Saskatchewan, you just got a letter back about a week ago. And we praise the Lord that there's still fruit coming. So thank you in being involved in that. So I'm going to ask Mr. Philip Wiedrich and Mr. Tony Baker if they would come. They're going to sign this check tonight. I know it's just symbolic, but I think it's important that we understand we as a church work together. So these men are representing tonight. And so if you can bring that up, they'll probably need the pulpit to lay that on. And then we'll, I've got a Sharpie here. I had a Sharpie here. There it is. All right. Just a space here.
Spreading over. We will. That's a beautiful signature. Beautiful. I had a pastor friend from Haiti, and whenever he would get a support check,
thank
he
you
said,
guys.
Oh, that is such a beautiful signature. Beautiful. He said, on a check, on a letter, it is junk. That is a beautiful signature.
Thank Amen. You, now, if they won't cash this, we've just saved a lot of money.
You did.
But we have a real check as well. But praise the Lord. Amen.
Let me read this for you. We did just receive a couple letters from Saskatchewan, which you folks did a large portion of Saskatchewan. This is from a young lady. It says, hi there. My name is Olivia. I live in Guelph, Ontario, and I'm 22 years old. The Lord saved me about 2 years ago, but my parents have not yet received Jesus as their personal Savior. I've been at college for a couple months. I just got back for my reading week when my mom handed me the John of Romans. You had left at the door. I was so uplifted when I went to your website to see your true independent Baptist church. I am so thankful that the true word of God is getting out to the lost nations. When I'm in Guelph, I attend Royal City Baptist Church, where Pastor Bodway is, and my best friend's dad is a pastor in Kingston. His church is called Bible Baptist Church, and his name is Pastor Mumper. I know both of those men dearly. I have been so thankful for them, and now for you, knowing that someone is getting the word out to this world, I will pray for you and ask that God gives you strength and the funds to keep this mission going. And we just received this one yesterday. It says, thank you very much for the book, Canada, God Keep Our Land. It came at a great time in my life. I do ask God for forgiveness on a daily basis. I do very strongly believe that that God is our Savior. I would love to receive a copy of the Gospel of John and Book of Romans. I'm going for surgery, and I'm going to be laid up for a couple of months, and I've always wanted to read the Bible. Again, thanks for the nudge that I needed, Tammy Godette. So awesome response already. These are coming from the Thunder Bay area, and we've done, with your help, by faith we sent them out, believing this was coming. We sent out north of Barrie up to the northern tip, Pickle Lake, Ontario. 280,000 went out. We just praise the Lord for what's already happening. And that, folks, is to your credit. When we get to heaven, there'll be something for you for helping in this endeavor. And I'll remind you, we've done 4 million John and Romans. We've only got 9 million to go. And Pastor, if you could raise the rest of that money, we'd love you guys for that, all right? But all we need is $3.5 million. Lori, take care of that, would you? Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. We won't take the time for announcements tonight. You have your bulletins. Let's stand together, be dismissed with a word of prayer. Please come over to our church fellowship. I'm going to ask Pastor Stone and Ruthie if they'd go to the Bearing Precious Seed table or even now. Do you have prayer cards out there? Pick up a prayer card and make sure you keep this ministry in prayer and pray for the leadership there. There's other, so many folks in their church are so involved in this ministry. How many of you would be interested in going down to John, Bearing Precious Seed one day and putting together some John and Romans? Let's see if we have, oh good, we can take a bus down and do some work. That'd be wonderful. So we'll try to plan that for you and we'll take a group down and do some more John and Romans and put them together, put our hands right on them and get involved in that. Then they pray over them before they send them out. All right, let's go, Lord, in prayer and ask His blessing. Thank you for being here. Brother Baker, would you lead us in prayer, please?
God, we thank you so much for your word and for the ability to support this ministry. We have the gospel to speak to us. I pray that you're blessed and very proud to see.
Amen. Please join us for our church fellowship across in our fellowship center, I guess we'll call it tonight. All right? Join us in our gym.